नमो ओम विष्णुपदाय कृष्णप्रस्थाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्त स्वामिनिति नामिने नमस्ते सरस्वतीं गौरवाणी प्रजारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देशधारिणे श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभो नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधार श्रीवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे सो यस्टरडे इन वर्स 49 इफ यू रिमेंबर इन द सेकंड चैप्टर वर्स 49 कृष्ण हैज गिवन अ वेरी strong opinion on those who work with the desire of results. You can see that in that word. Generally, Krishna doesn't use such strong words. But in Bhagavad Gita, you will see in one or two places, Krishna has been very heavy with the words, what he has used. So in that 49 verse, Krishna has used one word there. If you look at that, दूरेणि ह्यवरं कर्म बुद्धियोगा धनंजय बुद्धौ शरणमन्विच कृपणा फलहेतवा कृपणा फलहेतवा वन हु इज एक्टिंग इन दिस वर्ल्ड विद अ डिजायर फॉर रिजल्ट्स कृष्ण कॉल्स हिम एज कृपणा कृपणा मीन्स वेरी माइजर एंड देयरफॉर जनरली मोस्ट ऑफ अस आर इन दैट कैटेगरी इजंट इट देयर इज नो वन हु इज फ्री फ्रॉम दैट बट हाउ टू कम आउट ऑफ दैट दैट व्हाट कृष्ण इज गोइंग टू टॉक अबाउट इट इन द लेटर वर्सेस That this kripanatvam or karpanyam, the words, the quality is called karpanyam. Karpanyam means that if I don't get something, I won't do anything in this world. This mentality. That I should be profited, otherwise why should I do it? This thinking. So, karpanya dosha vahrada svabhava, Krishna said that previously, Krishna has said that karpanya dosha bhakrda svabhava, Arjuna's mentality or Arjuna's way of thinking was karpanyam. Karpanyam means that kind of nature that I am the doer and what shall I come out of this? What do I get out of this? So karpanya dosha bhakrda svabhava. Krishna says such a person can never make progress in spiritual life. Who has that way of thinking in life. Not able to give anything to the world, but just only learn to take from the world. So, karpanya dosha bhakrdasu, and that karpanyam, that word is very, very important. Because it is that karpanyam, Krishna is saying there, that this is what has happened to Arjuna also. Arjuna had this karpanyam in him. And that is why he said, karpanya dosha bhakrdasu bhava. Arjuna by nature is not a person like that. So, that's also another important thing. Arjuna by nature is not like that. Arjuna is a person who gives everything to others. But here, it so happened that this nature has come to Arjuna somehow. And therefore, he says, karpanya dosha abhagrada svabhava prachamitvam dharma samuta chedaha. The result is that I have lost my dharma. I have forgotten my dharma, he says. And nishchayeshan nischidam rohidan me shishyasteham shadhimam tvam pravannam. And that's when Arjuna surrendered to Krishna. That Arjuna recognized that this nature has come to me and he surrenders to Krishna. We have seen that in the previous verses. Now, here Krishna is saying again that durena khyavaram karma buddhi yoga dhananjaya. That through buddhi yogam you come out of this possibility. Dureena hyavaram karma buddhi yogal dhananjaya. Through buddhi yogam, free yourself from this situation. Buddhau sharanam anyucha kripana bhalahedava. That there is no other alternative except to surrender. Buddhau sharanam anyucha kripana bhalahedava. One who is looking for desire or one who is desiring the results, he is kripana. Kripana. And it is this from this verse that the third chapter is coming from. The third chapter, Karma Yogam, was spoken only to get out of this karpanyam, kripanatvam. or this thinking of. That's why Karma Yogam, and you see, you will see Krishna is always talking about yajna, sacrifice, sacrifice, sacrifice for others. Sacrifice in the sense that karmam should be connected with Krishna, and that karmam should be performed without any desire or results. Only that's the only way Krishna says you can free from karmam. Otherwise, karmam will bind us. I mentioned this yesterday also. Karmam starts first. With the result of that, there will be some results from karma. When the results come, either they are in favor or not favorably or unfavorably, whichever way it comes. When the results come, then the next thing what we do is, depending on whether it is favorable or unfavorable, there will be a vasana based on that within us. When the vasana develops, what will happen? The next thing, we have to accept another body. Once you have accepted another body, again, you have to perform karmam in that body to fulfill these vasanas. And this way, that cycle goes on. Karmam, karmic activity, from the activity comes the the results. From the results comes the, from the results, either favorable or unfavorable, based on that the vasanas will come, based on the vasanas another birth, and from the birth again karmam. So continuously this cycle goes on repeating. One thing I mentioned before, that the karmam in itself is not a problem. Karmam itself is not the problem. What is the problem? Every karmam, karmam is a big subject in the Vedas. In Vedic literature, karmam is a big thing. Every karmam creates a certain vritti inside, chitta vritti. Because you cannot do any karmam without any chitta vritti. Chitta vritti means our thought processes. It creates thoughts inside. When the thought is very feeble, when it's not very strong, it creates a small line inside. In other words, some sort of reaction of that comes in. But if it is only a chittavritti, it's not a bad thing. It stays there and it goes away. But if you keep on repeating that karma many, many times, this line gets stronger and stronger inside. Chittavritti becomes very strong. And when the chittavritti gets very strong, it is what is known as samskaram. It becomes samskaram. Once it has become samskaram, that samskaram eventually will turn out into what is known as vasana. It becomes vasana. Now, up to that point, you can control it. You can control your life. Once it has become a vasana, then you cannot do anything about it. Because vasana has got life in itself. It has got its own life. So, up to that point, you can control. But when that point comes, then vasana controls you. You see? First, chittavritti. Vritti becomes samskaram. Samskaram becomes vasana. And once it has become vasana, vasana will control you. You have no freedom after that. So that is why we are all working according to our vasanas in this world. Because it has become vasana in us. And from several lifetimes, this vasana has developed very strongly within us. And this is apply only not only to the material activities, even the spiritual activity. If our spiritual activities are strong, and it becomes, that is why Shastras are saying to us, don't worry about anything. Create this vasana inside somehow. And if you create vasana and leave this body, that vasana will take you to the next life. In the subtle body, when we move on to the next life, it is this vasana that carries us with us. So, vasana is an important thing. So, when the vasanas become very strong, then you have no control over it. You can't stop it because it has got its own life in it. It's become very lively. So, the control is difficult at that point, and then we act according to the vasanas in this world. So Krishna says that Kripana Bhalahetava, that so desire for results also has come like this. This vasana only that is created within us. It is on a subtle level, it is working very strongly. In the modern world, we say that you have to be very greedy for it, isn't it? That you have to be very desiring results. Only then you can do it. But on a subtle level, it is exactly the other way it's working. On a gross level, we say that we must get the result. We should work for the results. And we fix the targets and so many things. We fix the targets and so many things in order to get that result. But then the result is not always the best thing. Durena hyavaram karma buddhi yogal dhananjayam. Buddha Sharanamanvicha Kripana Bhalahe Dhavam. So this is one word where Krishna has used a very strong word. There is another place in the Bhagavad Gita where Krishna uses calls people as mithyacharasa uchyade. He says mithyacharam. That means he comes to spiritual life and then he thinks that the person is thinking that everything I will do externally something, but internally I'll be a different person. There's a conflict builds up inside. And when the conflict develops inside, that means externally in front of the world, he presents himself as spiritual. But internally, all his thoughts and mind and desires are completely different. If that happens, Krishna calls him as mithyacharasa uchyade. It'll come later on. Mithyacharam. Such a person is, Krishna says, he is false. He is a cheater, in other words. So, buddhiyukto jahadiha. We saw that verse yesterday. Yogam karmasu kaushalam. That how is that kushalaga in executing karmam in this world? Krishna calls it as yogam. Then the next verse 51 we saw. Karmajam bhogde yuktahi bhalam tektuva manishina janma karbandha vinir muktai padam gachandi anamayam. Karmajam buddhi yuktahi bhalam tektuva manishina. In Prabhupada's lectures, you will see this particular verse. Prabhupada has given a long lecture. This particular verse. If you have Prabhupada's lectures, you can look at that. Karmajam buddhi yuktahi bhalam tektuva manishina. Intelligent person, Krishna says, first thing is he doesn't want to have the results. That's how he acts in this world. Phalam tektuva manishina, he gives up the results. And that is buddhi yuktahi. Krishna says that is the intelligent thing, intelligent person. And janma bandha vinirmuktam, that's the way he frees himself from that bondage. Janma bandha vinirmuktam, and what happens? Padam gachandi anamayam. He goes back into the spiritual world without any difficulty. So, you can see here one thing. Then in the Bhagavad Gita begins with this karmam, topic of karmam itself, isn't it? Why? Because if the karmam is not pure, all other things will not have its desired, will not have its impact on us. That means it's a karmam that first purifies a person, karma shuddhi or chitta shuddhi they call it. If the karmam is pure, karma shuddhi is there, then whatever little we do in spiritual life, it will have its benefit. If it is done properly. Otherwise, years and years you can do karmam, but nothing will happen. Why? Because it's not done with the right understanding. That's why I say here, karmajam buddhi yuktahi bhalam tektuva manishina janma bandha vinirmukte padam gachandi anamayam. So, that karmam is given such an important thing. Krishna stresses on that in the beginning of Bhagavad Gita itself. And yadade mohakalilam, this is the verse we are discussing yesterday. Yadade mohakalilam buddhirvedi tarishyadi tada gandhasi nirvedam shrodavyasya shrutasya chaham. Yadade mohakalilam buddhirvedi tarishyadi. Then once we have crossed this hurdle inside, in us, mohakalilam. Mohakalilam means from what has come from delusion inside. That then Krishna says buddhirvedi tarishyadi. Buddhi, intelligence has gone beyond than that. That he has crossed over that, this moham or delusion. Here, something important. In the next few verses, Arjuna will ask this question, isn't it? Of a person who has got a steady intelligence. Steady intelligence. It's called sthitapratnyatvam. Sthitapratnya. Sthitapratnya means one whose intelligence is very steady. He doesn't waver anymore. No more affected by the modes of nature, in other words. So, a person who has transcended the three modes of nature is the same person Krishna is talking about here as sthitapratnyatvam. There is no difference at all between the two. In different places, if you remember this always, it's good, because in different places in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna will call that same person with different names. The same person Krishna calls with different names. One place he will say he has crossed beyond the modes of nature. There he is called as Gunatitan. Atitan means one who has transcended the modes of nature. Gunatita. In another place, Krishna will refer to him as a yogi who is against the same thing. In a third place he will say he is he is Sthitapratnya. Sthitapratnya means his intelligence is steady. Prajna means it is steady intelligence. And like this, in different names, he calls those everyone, the person who is advancing in spiritual life, Krishna calls them under different titles. Now, here, in the Sthita Prajnatvam stage, what is now being discussed, Arjuna asked a question to Krishna, that Sthita Prajnasya ka bhasha samadhistasya keshava, Sthidadhi kim, if you look at that words in the verse number 54, Sthidadhi kim prabhasheda kim asida vrajeda kim, that's the question. Arjuna vacha, Sthita Prajnasya ka bhasha samadhistasya keshava, Sthidadhi kim prabhasheda kim asida vrajeda kim. So Arjuna's question is, what are the symptoms of one whose consciousness is thus merged in transcendence? How does he speak? What is his language? How does he sit? And how does he walk? All these things Arjuna asked Krishna. Have you noticed none of these questions were answered by Krishna? Krishna didn't answer not one of those questions. If you look into any of the verses after that, Krishna is not saying, oh, he sits like this, or he stands like that, or he walks like this. This is the beauty of Bhagavad Gita. You have to see the subtle side of all these things. Only then you will relish Bhagavad Gita. Arjuna is asking, Sthita Prajnasya ka bhasha, how does he speak? Samadhistasya keshava, and Sthidadhi kim prabhasheta, kim asida vrajeda kim. This is the question. So normally you would expect an answer for that, isn't it? But not one answer given to any of those questions. What is the reason behind it? Reason is this, that if you remember on Sunday, I mentioned this also in the Bhagavadam, that a self-realized soul, you cannot put him under any category, how he will act. All the self-realized souls, if you take their life, you will see they all act differently. Everyone is different one from the other. So Krishna knows very well that you can't answer that question in that way. That is not the way to answer that question. Because if you tell that Arjuna asked this question, Ajari Swami says these questions were asked only because for our benefit. Not that Arjuna didn't know anything about it. It is only for our benefit Arjuna asked these questions. And Krishna is actually present right in front of him, who is a Sthita Prajna himself. And seeing him, how he is walking, how he is eating, how he is sleeping, Arjuna should not have asked this question to Krishna. Because Krishna himself is a realized soul, isn't it? Self-realized state he is. So seeing him in front of him, he is asking this question. How does he speak? How does he walk? How does he talk? And all these questions. Krishna didn't answer any of those questions. On the other hand, what did Krishna do? Krishna spoke about the consciousness of a person, what it will be like. He wouldn't say anything about the external side. The same thing in Bhagavad Gita, about a devotee. Krishna will not say anything about the external things, only about what is the consciousness of a devotee. That's what he will talk about. And in Bhagavad Gita, you will not see anywhere. In the 12th chapter, when you look at the devotees, Bhakti Yogam chapter, Krishna will not mention one word about a devotee's clothes, devotee's dress, devotee's how does he walk or how does he sit. Nothing is spoken. All about the internal qualities of a devotee. So here, if you come back to words, we will see there that in the text 52, I'm going back to that again. Yadate moha kalilam. Buddhir vyaditarishyati tada gandhasi nirvedam shrodavyasya shrutasya cha. That there is nothing to be heard after that. After you have reached that stage, there is shrodavyasya shrutasya cha. All what has been heard before is also not important anymore, because you have reached that stage already. Already you are in that state, so you don't have to worry about what you have learned before. Once you have reached that stage, nor you have to hear anything further, because you already got that stage. That's why Krishna is saying there, Shrotavyasa Shrutasya cha. You already got it. That means your identity with the soul is complete. That you are realizing that you are the spirit soul. You are not this body anymore. You have freed yourself from the bodily concept, completely released from the bondage, completely released from the bondage. So I was mentioning that in that connection, the only thing we will go through one or two examples, what has happened in some people's cases. I mentioned last time also, yesterday, that the the many Mahatma's cases, many great personalities, that once this false ego goes away from us, that's when we are released. False ego is where from the mind is born. Mind was born from the false ego. And this false ego is what is us at the moment. We are identification is with the false ego, not with the soul. We are not identifying with the soul. Although, theoretically you understand from Bhagavad Gita that we are spirit soul, still our identification with the is with the false ego. The moment the identification with the false ego goes away, and the identification with the soul comes in as our proper identity, then we will not be acting in the way, that is the realized state. That's all it is. The shifting the attention from false ego to the soul. So this story, I think I have discussed this before also, is Tathuraya's story. Tathuraya and Swarupananda, they were a uncle and the nephew. They were together. They come from a family which were highly scholarly and very learned people. And in those days, this incident happens about 500-600 years ago. But it is so well known that how a realized soul, how does he act? If you ask that question, the answer is in that story. The presence of a realized soul, how it affects us, it's not been told to judge others. This is another important thing. The conclusion of all these things is not to judge others. It is only to look inwards us and see where we are at this. That is why all these things are spoken. Krishna has also spoken with that intention only. Not that we read Bhagavad Gita and just start looking at others and see whether he sees Sastida Prajna or not. That's not our business also. That's not requested. So here, Tathuraya and Swarupananda, they were the uncle and the nephew together. Both these personalities were very serious about spiritual life, about spiritual realization. And they had a great intelligence and have studied all the Shastrams very well. Studied Shastram well and good intelligence also. So you can imagine what will happen. Constant discussion all the time about Shastram. Discussion from the Shastram. Endless discussions. And with these discussions, they realized that it's not getting anywhere. The discussions carried on for a very, very long time. They are not getting into any conclusions. Uncle will say something, the nephew will say something else. A nephew has an argument against it. Or nephew says something, uncle will have an argument against it. Both are learned people. So they kept traveling in this way, saying that, and they realized that with speculation and by studying Shastram alone, it is not going to happen. Realization won't come. So wherever they go, if they meet a scholarly person, in them days, the kings were very powerful. And those kings encouraged Shastric discussions in their assembly and outside as well. So in those discussions, many of them will get an opportunity to understand the Shastram, and also very finer points in the Shastram will be discussed. Not on a gross level, very, very subtle level. That you have even, nowadays it's so rare, but at that particular time it was quite common that Shastrams were discussed in very much in depth. That means from a much on a subtle level. Many things what is spoken in the Upanishads and Vedas and other thing requires a realization from that to speak about that. Otherwise it is impossible to understand that for an ordinary person. It cannot be translated. It has to be realized and it has to be understood that way. And only those who had that realization you could discuss. And the kings were very favorable. They patronized these scholars and maintained them in their palaces to study these things and to discuss about it. The kings also participated in these discussions. That's another interesting thing. They were also participated in the discussions of the Shastram. So our these two people, they came and Tathuraya went to one of the king's assembly. And when he went there, he recited a few verses glorifying his spiritual master, who has happened to be his uncle now. Now, his uncle himself became his spiritual master, and he started glorifying him in the assembly of the king. When he recited these verses, glorifying his guru or spiritual master, many other scholars who were present there, they objected to it. Their objection was that Swarupananda is not that person who can be glorified in that way. It was their opinion who were present there in that assembly. So when they said that, Tatvarayar said to them that if you say so, the only thing I can do is to bring him here, and then you decide whether it is worthwhile glorifying him or not. So he goes and brings, Tatvarayar goes and brings Swarupananda into the assembly. And when Swarupananda came and sat down, he asked everyone, Tatvarayar asked everybody, whatever questions you have, you can ask him now, if you don't agree with anything what I have spoken about him. No one person asked one question. For hours and hours they sat there, nobody had any question. Hours went away, 3 days they sat like that. In 3 days, not one person had had felt the need to ask any question to Swarupananda Saraswati. So, what does it mean is this, that Swarupananda was a realized soul. In a jnani's presence, automatically all your questions and doubts goes. It doesn't wake up anymore. It goes away. So, Krishna's point is this, that the only way you can understand a self-realized soul or a jnani or a great devotee, for that matter, he says, in his presence, your mind will stop functioning. This is how you test that. That in that person's presence, your mind won't wake up. Normally, our mind is very active, isn't it? It's full of questions and full of doubts. But doubts and questions stops when you meet that person. It will not come up anymore. No more questions to ask. Because the very presence of that jnani, realized soul, is such that simply by his presence, your mind stops functioning. Especially a personality like Swarupananda Saraswati, you can imagine, hundreds of scholars who were in the assembly, none of them could ask one question to him. They felt like that. So this is the point Krishna is making here. That is why Krishna didn't answer any of those questions. The only way you can see this is Krishna saying that in his presence you have no questions anymore. Questions all stops at that point. So Swarupananda Saraswati said like that. Third day also Swarupananda didn't answer anything. There was no question at all. So all those people who are present there, they paid their obeisances to Tatvarayar and says to him, it's not only one or two verses glorifying him, thousands of verses you should talk about him. This Swarupananda Saraswati, that's what I said. So here, unless in the presence of a jnani or a realized soul, the mind cannot stay quiet. Mind will not stay quiet. Moham or delusion is nothing but mind. Mind is that delusion, isn't it? Yadade mohagalilam buddhir vyadidharishyati. Krishna says here in that verse, isn't it? Yadade mohagalilam buddhir vyadidharishyati. And tadi tada gandhasi nirvedam shrodavyasa shrutasyacha. They have reached their stage, they have nothing to hear anymore, and whatever they have heard also doesn't have any effect on them. So this one thing cannot be reached by studying books or by any other course or mechanical arrangements. It cannot be done. This cannot be done. And this can only happen through a proper realized soul. Only in his presence this will happen. And the best example is Tatvarayar's story. Goes back into his story. What happened? That Swarupananda was Swarupananda and Tatvarayar used to conduct discussions. Before he became his guru, they conduct discussions all the time together. Very intelligent people, so always questions. And they went on traveling. Wherever they go, they used to meet scholars. In them days, because kings ruled the country, that all the kings provided this facility, that they will invite scholars from one province to another province, and if they come, they'll get an opportunity to discuss Shastram. Shastram was the key thing in life. Without Shastram, there was no life. Today we are in the animal stage. There is no Shastram, there is no life also. But without Shastram, there is no life. So that's why it's said like that. So when they went to different places, even if they had some desire to hear from them, immediately they get involved in the argument in Shastram. So the only goal was to keep on defeating others in the arguments. This has become their very nature, these two, uncle and the nephew together. Keep on defeating everyone in the argument and coming out successfully. This was become the goal. So self-realization was the original goal. It has now shifted to this, something else. It has moved in a different direction. So they kept doing this. After some time, they themselves started realizing, why is it like this? That we have studied all Shastram, we have defeated so many people in the argument, but there is no realization inside. I'm not experiencing anything. From the knowledge is not manifesting in us. This feeling started developing inside. It is then that they realized that if we two of us go together, it's going to be a problem everywhere. Because one of us will start the argument, and eventually the other one will support. And then we will have the goal changes then, isn't it? How to put the other person down, bring him down. That becomes the goal. So they decided one day, underneath a banyan tree, they stood and said, we will go in two different directions. You go in one direction, I'll go in another direction. After a year from today, come back here, we'll meet again here and see what happens to both of us. So in that process, Swarupananda Saraswati went in one way, Tathurayar went in another direction. So Swarupananda Saraswati goes, and now Swarupananda Saraswati is a little bit wiser. Older person also is a bit wiser about it. He started realizing that what is missing in his life is the role of a proper jnani as a guru, a spiritual master for him, in the proper way, as a jnani to guide him through. So eventually, what happened to Swarupananda is, he met a yogi. And when he met this yogi, he immediately understood that this yogi has deep realizations. Yogi was not interested in discussing Shastram anymore. Yogi had realizations. So when he saw those realizations, his false ego surrendered there to him. He understood that he has got something better than what I have got. We will only surrender to a person only when we see someone who is higher than us. Otherwise, we won't surrender. It's not possible to surrender to someone whom he has not reached a higher level in spiritual life than us. That's not possible. So, this is practical application in life. So, the same thing happened to Swarupananda. Swarupananda met this yogi and saw that yogi had much deeper realizations in spiritual life and was not interested too much about talking about the Shastram. In other words, he was in the state Buddhir Veditarishadi. He has already crossed beyond that stage of intelligence and mind. Tada Gandhase Nirvedam, and he does not want to talk anymore. Why? Shrotavyasa Shrutasyacha. He has heard and he has realized it, so, and he doesn't want to hear anymore. There's nothing more to be heard after that. So Sadrupananda has met this person, and there he has surrendered his false ego. The purpose of surrender is to surrender this false ego. And you can only surrender the false ego to someone whom you consider superior. If he is not superior, you can't consider. What will happen? After some time you will start thinking, what does he know? And you will question, and then your false ego will wake up again. So false ego you can only surrender to a place where you find that he is superior feeling in there. So Swarupananda found such a person and he surrendered his false ego to him. This cannot be done on a ritualistic level. This is another important thing. That is why we have to say this, that spiritual life cannot be institutionalized. When you institutionalize, what happens is it becomes an institutional thing. The spiritual life is a relationship, and it is a very genuine relationship between the disciple and the spiritual master. You have to meet that right person, and the right person also has to feel that you are a worthy candidate. That is why Krishna spoke in the Ekadasham the qualification of a disciple first, and then the qualification of a guru both. And when that relationship is genuine, and it is reacting to each other, it happens each other, then the relationship will build up. It will not, you don't require any external help after that, because both are genuine and serious about that. So what has happened to Swarupananda Saraswati was, he surrendered to him, this yogi. In them days, institutions didn't exist. It's all individual thing. Anyone who is serious about spiritual life, he will carry on with it. Those who are not serious about spiritual life, they will live in their families and home, and they'll practice their own sadhana in their own way. But very serious people who are want to have this, who's a fire burning inside to get out of this material life once for all, they won't be bothered too much about the family comforts, or they will be wandering around looking for the truth, and in that process they will go wherever it's necessary to go. That was the system in those days. And fortunately, because there was no other materialistic civilization so strongly as it is today, that the people's only interest was in this some subject of spiritual development. So Swarupananda met that person and he surrendered his ego there. So after a year from then, that as they've agreed before, a year since then, Swarupananda came back to the same place to meet his nephew. But the nephew, what has happened by now, nephew wandered around also in the same way. Nephew continued the old business of beating people, defeating people, arguing and defeating them in Shastram. So when they met back again together after a year, Swarupananda and Tatvarayar met each other, and Tatvarayar again started arguing with Swarupananda. At that time, Swarupananda told him that your problem is this ego has not gone. You have not surrendered your ego anywhere. And as long as this ego is there, you cannot make any further progress in spiritual life. So, it was then that Tatvarayar asked Swarupananda, what should I do? He said, go and jump into the sea and kill yourself, he said. That was the answer. So this incident has happened somewhere in the coastal line of Bay of Bengal, from that Tamil Nadu, that area. That's where this incident happened. So Tatvarayar decided that I'm not going to make it in this lifetime, spiritually anything. So he has decided to take that drastic step of giving up his body. So he is going towards the sea, to jump to the sea and to kill himself in that process. What did Swarupananda do at that time? Swarupananda is realized by now, because he has surrendered and he has come to that stage. He prayed him at that point that let this Tatvarayar's intelligence go. It's too much intelligence has caused this problem for him. So he calls Tatvarayar back and says to Tatvarayar that this intelligence is causing you all these problems. So, somehow or the other, we have to get that intelligence out of your head. Because intelligence causes problems to people, like the mind. It's another big obstacle in spiritual life. That's why Krishna says there, Buddhir Vedi Tarishadi. He crossed beyond the Buddhi. Buddhi stage is gone. These are all different phases in our makeup, in our frame. One is the bodily frame. In bodily level, people act, isn't it? I'm so strong, so on the bodily level they act. Somebody who is strong on the mental level, they enter into that kind of activities where they control others with their mind. Mind control, we say. And then there are others who are on an intellectual level superior. So, on an intellectual platform, they try to control others. So, all these things, we have to go beyond to come to the spiritual level. Buddhir Vedi Tarishadi, Krishna uses the word. So, Swarupananda suggests to Tatvarayar, let's do one thing. Your intelligence is too sharp. You are too sharp a person. There are ways in Ayurvedam how to reduce the intelligence. So, one of the processes is that this uradal, you know. Uradal, if you feed a lot, your intelligence will become dull. Become very dull. Uradal is therefore has that effect. Number one. Number two, this castor oil, you put some mud around your head and pour castor oil inside that. So castor oil will stay there on your head. Castor oil also makes you dull. And so castor oil. And then rice, what is cooked, if you make it, store it for some time. If you eat that rice, it will develop tamogunam inside. These are all to develop tamogunam in a person. Because intelligence is a symptom of the rajogunam. It's rajogunam that intelligence is building up. Tamogunam is to push it down to this intelligence in a person. So all these things they applied on Tatraya. Tatraya was asked to do all these things. Nothing worked. After doing all that, Tatraya won't go. Tatraya won't give it. He kept on still discussing in the same way. It is then that our Swarupananda Saraswati told Tatraya that there's nothing I can do about you now anymore. You just go and finish up your life somewhere. He said, and he's walking away from Swarupananda Saraswati. Swarupananda Saraswati at that time told another one or two disciples, please go with him and see what he is saying. Write it down, everything, what he is going to say now when he's on his way to give up the body. So accordingly, some disciples of Swarupananda went with him, with Tatraya, and they wrote down what Tatraya has spoken at that time. It is then that Tatraya glorifies the role of the spiritual master. He started developing a certain a certain relationship with Swarupananda Saraswati, that he knows better than me what is good for me. So you can see it took a long time for him to come to this understanding. Up to that time he was talking to him on an equal level. Although an uncle and the nephew, he would not, when Shastram comes, he won't look into all those things. He will just see Shastric interest. And similarly, you will notice this, in highly spiritually advanced people, they will not take age as an important thing. Age is not important. Shastram and realizations, that's important. So Swarupananda Saraswati and Tatraya, the relationship has changed now. It's not anymore the previous relationship of uncle and nephew, or when they went together to discuss Shastram. Swarupananda Tatraya surrenders at this point and says to him that something has from me, that is Krishna inside, has started dictating to him that you have to surrender to him. So surrender happens in these ways, that from inside, that is why we call Krishna is inside as the Guru, isn't it? Chaitaguru is given because of this reason, that he is guiding you at every step which way to go further in spiritual life. So from inside, Tatraya's inside, Krishna is dictating to him that you surrender to Swarupananda. And that is how Tatraya surrendered to Swarupananda Saraswati. They were very much discussing about the importance of the soul, Brahman, and things like that. But Tatraya is up to this point in Anubhuti. Anubhuti means in practical experience, it was not happening for him. It was happening on a gross level. All the logics, arguments, and the Upanishads, everything is in his head. But it was not being experienced. The five senses have come under control. And buddhi or intelligence, when it stops its activities, then it's called yoga. Then it is called yoga. And that can only happen from a realized soul, a jnani. A realized soul only, alone, this can happen. You can light a lamp only from another lamp. You can light a lamp only from another lamp. You cannot do it from a photograph, can you? Cannot light another lamp from another photo of a lamp. So similarly, Adhyatma Vidya or spiritual knowledge is also, where the knowledge is burning, you can take that from that and light another place. And but the only reason is this, that the only reason is there's another law attached to that. From whom, if you want to light that lamp of knowledge from another person, you should be able to surrender unto him. We should surrender there. Surrender means Sharanagati. Sharanagati. Sharanagati is a word used in the Shastram. In order to do that, you have to feel that that person is higher, on a higher level than us. Otherwise, it's not possible. Only then one will have respect and one will also have love for that person. So, Bahumanam is respect and Priyam is the love for that person. When these things are there, that surrender will become perfect. It is not a topic which can be discussed and understood, just like we do normally in life. Yeah. Yeah. So, that was about the discussions between Tatraya and Swarupananda Saraswati. So, by now, when Tatraya eventually has given up, willing to give up his body, fortunately by Krishna's arrangement from inside, he started realizing that he is not this body anymore. That bodham has gone away, left him. So, in the Upanishads, what they say about this is like this, that it is in the Kathopanishad, it says that the the verse is, it is a statement which you will relish very much. It says here, Shravanayabhi bahubhiryamna labhyaha shrunnando behuvam yam na vidyu Ashcharya vakta kushalosya labdha Ashcharya jnata kushalane shishta. Let's look at the meaning of this verse. It says here, many people are hearing about the soul, shranivabhi bahubhyam na labhyaha, but they don't get it. They don't get it. Why? Because these things have not happened to them. That's why in spiritual life, only when you get it, you can say you've got it. When you haven't got it, you can't say you've got it. When you get it, you can say you've got it. When you have not got it, you can't say I've got it. If you keep Upanishads in your mind all the time, especially these verses, you can also see it is not something artificially you can do. It is from the Kathopanishad, this verse. Shrunyavi bahubhyam na labhyaha. That many, many people have heard about the soul. You can remember, Bhagavad Gita is spoken in so many assemblies, in so many places, by so many speakers. In so many different ways it's presented. It is difficult to say that the amount of people who study Bhagavad Gita in this world is unbelievable. And that too, people are taking the message from Bhagavad Gita and feeling a great relief in their life. Because when you are materially too much affected, infected with material consciousness, when you come to Bhagavad Gita and start reading that, immediately you recognize the power of the soul, isn't it? The power of the soul. So, and all of those people are reading Bhagavad Gita, but it's not happening. And that is an amazing thing, Kathopanishad says. Shravanayabhi bahubhiryom na labhyaha. They are not getting it, he says. Then, shrunnandobi bahuvo yamna vidyu. Lot of people have heard it. Lot of people have heard it, and still they are not getting it. Lot of people have read about it, they have not got it. And lot of people have heard about it, still they don't understand it, what this thing called the soul is. Ashcharya vakta kushalosmi labdha. Sometimes it's amazing that the person who has spoken has been able to pass on that understanding to somebody of the soul. It says here, Ashcharya vakta, the one who is speaking about the soul, he has been able to transmit that realization to somebody. That's an amazing thing, Upanishads are saying. Ashcharya vakta, and sometimes somebody who has been hearing it, he didn't get it. He couldn't get it on his own, but somebody else was able to pass it on to that person, that realization of the soul. Ashcharya vakta kushalosya labdha. That he couldn't get it, but somebody else managed to give it to him. Then, Ashcharya jnata kushalana shishta. And it's also equally amazing, sometimes some disciples manage to get it without very much effort from the side of the spiritual master. From the side of the spiritual master. So this Ashcharya means amazing thing. It's an amazing thing, it says here. Of that self which is not available for the mere hearing to many, which many do not understand even while hearing, the expounder is wonderful and the receiver is wonderful. Wonderful is he who knows under the instruction of an adept. So it says that this transmission can happen. It is very difficult to say how it will happen. And somewhere Prabhupada has quoted this verse. I can't remember where it is in the Bhagavad Gita while talking about the soul. That's the second chapter or else, I don't know. Shraniyabhi bahubhiryo na labhyaha shrunandobhi bahuvam yam na vidyu Ashcharya vakta kushalasya labdha Ashcharya jnata kushalasya anishishta. Then one who has managed to get it, he is smart, he says. one who has managed to get it, he is smart. And sometimes the vakta is smart, the speaker is smart, he managed to get it to the other person, although he wasn't able to take it himself, he managed to get it to him. So, both, all of that is wonderful, Upanishad is saying, about in the Katha Upanishad is talking like that. So, so in other words, one who is able to manage to get it from the spiritual master, he is amazing person. And the otherwise is the relationship between the spiritual master and the disciple is very confidential, very confidential. Ashcharya Kushala Anishishta. So such a spiritual master is also a wonderful person who is able to do that. And if these things both happen, then yadate mohakalilam, delusion goes away from such a person. And once the false ego goes away, the atmatattvam or the soul will shine on its own. And to keep on, the inquiry goes in very much. As I mentioned before, knowledge is not something that has to come from outside. It's already there in us, every one of us. Spiritual knowledge is there. Krishna is present inside, which means the spiritual knowledge is also inside. We have this misunderstanding that I have to practice spiritual life for so many years and then one day the knowledge will come to me from outside. That is not how it works. Here, all that it is, each of us, every single one of us, living entities, has got the spirit soul inside, which means the spiritual knowledge is also inside us, already there. What we have to do is to clear up the dirt inside, what's been covering the soul in its exhibiting its pure qualities of knowledge and bliss. So, and that thing which is called, when the mercy is coming from the spiritual master, it's called Kripa Shakti, Kripa, spiritual master's Kripa, or consciousness, or the soul. All this is referred to as Sadguru. Sadguru means a spiritual master who is able to transmit this, and whose presence our false ego surrenders. Ahankaram goes away. And generally, Chit Shakti, this is the Chit Shakti that is working in this time. When somebody is dealing with the spiritual master in this consciousness, it is the Chit Shakti, that Satta Chitta Anandam, isn't it? The Chit Shakti is that is responding to the spiritual master's words or spiritual master's instructions. And this Chit Shakti is what we refer to as Radharani. Radharani is that Chit Shakti. So Chit Shakti potency is this, that out of the Satta Chitta Anandam, that Chit is important more than Sat and Anandam. Anandam is of course the realized state with the blissful nature. But Chit is that potency that eventually take you to Krishna. So that's why we pray to Radharani to approach Krishna, isn't it? It is for this reason. So Chit potency or Chit Shakti, as it is referred to here, is that potency which actually is nothing but our consciousness, bodham, bodham. That actually we are consciousness, isn't it? What is the symptom of the soul in the body? Consciousness. And it is through the consciousness that we are conscious of everything in this world. For me now, all of you are sitting here. How do I know? Because of the Chit Shakti inside. It's the presence of Chit Shakti that makes me aware of the presence of so many other personalities here. Same thing with every one of us. So Chit Shakti is important in us. And this Chit Shakti, which is known as Bodham, these are different words used, consciousness, Bodham. And that is the one thing which you cannot say it doesn't exist. That's one thing which you cannot say doesn't exist. So people say, how do you know God exists? The answer to that, don't think about presenting him, Krishna is God, Ramachandra is God, Shiva is God, somebody else is God. That is not the issue. That they may believe or they may not believe. They may believe, they may not believe. But this one thing they can't refuse. They can't refuse. Krishna's presence inside us can be experienced and understood if you have little logic thought put into it. That very fact that I am conscious of everything, bodham. That bodham is coming from the soul. Otherwise you can't separate the bodham from anything else. Intelligence you can say where it is. Even the mind you can say it exists in the body. But due to whose presence the mind, intelligence, senses, body, everything functions. And that is that consciousness. That is the bodham. And it is due to the presence of that we are conscious of everything. It is due to the presence of that we are able to deal with this, deal with the Shastram. We are able to understand Shastram. It's only due to His presence that we become conscious of everything else in this creation. So, Krishna's point is here, is that Yadade Mohakalilam Buddhir Veditarishyati. That this buddhi and all, if you stay, get stuck in the intellectual platform, or if you get stuck in the mental platform, spiritual realization cannot happen. Spiritual realization cannot happen. Tadagandasi Nurvedam, Krishna says. Tadagandasi Nurvedam. If the realization has come, then all these things have no value also. No value also. Agandasi Nurvedam, Shrodasya Shrodasya. And then all that has to be heard and not heard hasn't become important. So normally, most of us live in the mental platform, isn't it? On the mental place. But if what does it happen then? This question will come. Suppose you have moved onto the face of consciousness, from the face of mind and intelligence. If you moved in the face of consciousness, what will happen? If you moved in the face of consciousness, the mind will still be there, but the mind will be like this. The Shastram gives the example. When the sun is shining brilliantly in the sky, the moon has not gone away. Moon is still there, isn't it? Sometimes you can see in the early hours in the morning or little later in the morning, the sun becomes brighter and brighter, the moon becomes starts disappearing little by little. Even though moon is present there, later on when you look in the sky, you say only the sun is present, there is no moon, we say. So it is the same stage inside. When the consciousness and spiritual realization become stronger and we move on to the phase of the consciousness from the mental phase, mind starts disappearing like the way the moon has disappeared, and the phase of consciousness becomes stronger like the sun. It starts shining powerfully inside. So all our activities will become so powerful from the Bodhamandalam. Bodhamandalam means this phase of the consciousness, that the mind will not have any more say in anything what we do. Mind has no more influence in anything what we do or what we say. It is this consciousness that speaks for us on that point. Then, once the sun rises, the moon is still there, but its light has no power anymore. So, similarly in a jnani also, when the Bodhamandalam or this phase of this consciousness become stronger, mind will still be there, but just like the sun, a moon during the day, it will not give you any more trouble after that. Not give you any more trouble. And you will also notice that for your transactions, people are frightened when you tell them that there will be no more mind, isn't it? They think, oh, mindless situation. And people question us. They'll also question us, saying that this mind-bending chanting, they say, isn't it? The deprogrammers used to say about the devotees like that, that they are simply busy in chanting this holy name. It just makes to mind-bending chanting. These were the words they were using. Deprogrammers, they were using like this. But they don't know that the mind has to be bent one day. Otherwise, there's no possibility of knowing anything better. So, mind bending, so the mind goes away, that is why Krishna is saying here, that for transactions in this world, you don't need the mind. It's a misunderstanding we have got. Suppose if I lose my mind, how will I live in this world? People, what will they say about it? No. Spiritually, advancement means that mind is not required. You will still conduct your transactions in this world, but not the way we are conducting today. It will be in a different way, that's all. You can live in this world still without a mind. Mind has come under control. In other words, mind, you are not allowing the mind to wake up again and to drive you mad like the way it has done before. That's all it is. So, Tadagandasi Nurvedam. So, this knowledge, what we are acquiring through the mind, or the information what you are collecting through the mind, is of no use. That's another important thing. And all that we have accumulated in the university and colleges and everywhere, through this mind what we have acquired, it's all useless at the end. That is only, from the spiritual point of view, it has no help at all. It is no help at all. Whatever we have studied, it all becomes a waste at that point. It becomes a waste as far as we are concerned. So the thing is to remember here is that Shastram and the knowledge and the realization, they are on a different plane altogether. It's not in the same way we studied our university courses and all the knowledge we got from the university. Inside, the knowledge is shining very strongly. Spiritual realized knowledge. Spiritual realization is shining very strongly inside. And this material knowledge, what we have acquired through our mind, immediately becomes null and void. And it has no more effect on us. It all becomes ineffective. So that is why persons who have higher transcendental realizations or spiritual realizations, they simply consider, as I mentioned yesterday, that this is all abharavidya. Abharavidya means related to matter, and that knowledge which will not help in spiritual life. Abharavidya is nothing but avidya. It is ignorance. It is ignorance. What is important is this realization of the truth inside, that who am I? Who am I, this speaking person? And what is my true identity? If when this realization becomes clear to us, then immediately you will see that the knowledge associated with that also is a different kind of knowledge. It's not the same knowledge what we acquired through the mind and the intelligence. Remember, I mentioned this yesterday. In normal science, the modern science what we study, although scientists are intelligent, there are certain things where their intelligence also comes to a stop. There's what is known as known and unknown thing for them, isn't it? They know a lot of things, and the unknown things they are trying to achieve through their research work and experiments and explorations and everything. What they are trying to do is to find out the unknown thing. The known thing, they already know a lot of things. The unknown thing, they are trying to get it by their work, by their hard work, what they put in there. But spiritual knowledge is not known or unknown. It is unknowable. It cannot be known in this way. It cannot be known in this way. It's unknowable. And because it is unknowable, it can only be experienced. It cannot be known. It has to be experienced. This is the important thing. It's not something you should try to get it like you did all the other subjects. It is to be experienced. And this is the reason why Arjuna and Uddhava said to Krishna, both of them said the same thing, right in this life I want to have that experience. Not after death. After death, what is the point? Anything can happen after death. Who knows what will happen after death? Right now, if I'm not getting it, it's no point in spending all my energy in this direction, in spiritual energy in this direction. So remember this, spiritual life is not after death. Spiritual life is right now here. When we are in this world, we should experience what Krishna is saying in the Bhagavad Gita and in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Till we experience, the search must continue. And Krishna says the best possibility of realizing that is through satsangam, through association. Association means association about talking about the soul. Nothing else. No other discussion, no material topics, no other topics related to simply discussing Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam. One day it should click as far as Krishna is concerned. And Krishna gives the example in that case. As you remember, in the Ekadasya Skandam, Krishna spoke about this many, many personalities. They never had any shastram, study of shastram. They never performed any penances. They never surrendered, they never had the opportunity to serve any great souls in any way. But they all became self-realized. And the examples, if you look in the Bhagavatam, it is amazing. Demons, self-realized. Very employed meat eaters, businessmen who are selling meat, self-realized. Birds, self-realized. And Rakshasas, self-realized. Krishna gives the finest examples one can think of. He's not speaking about people who are got it through spiritual training or through good birth or good study of shastra morality. Not one is mentioned. Even Krishna says the gopis, and Krishna says they reach the highest stage. So what does it show? It shows only one thing. That spiritual life is not work under any law. There is no law which you can impose on spiritual life, and this is the only way it will work. It can work provided, as it said in the Upanishads, Ascharya Labdaha Kushalani Shishtaha. One who gets it, he is amazing, he is fortunate. And he is he is wonderful. And the person who has given it is also wonderful. Gopis reach that stage. Do you see anywhere gopis studying Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam or chanting the holy name? Nothing. Why? Simply by Krishna's association, they reach that stage of the perfect realized state. And that you will see when the gopis sing about Krishna, what stage they are in. We will come that later. So, this state of this state of consciousness, when the perfection comes in of knowledge, it starts illuminating a person in such a way he finds everything else absolutely useless, all the other realization. So we also spoke about another personality like this. There are many in this category. Sadashiva Brahmendra, if you remember, we mentioned about him before. Sadashiva Brahmendra's life. Sadashiva Brahmendra was such a personality. The same Buddhir, I am giving this example because these are known examples, Buddhir Vedi Darishari, who crossed beyond the intelligence. Sadashiva Brahmendra's problem was this. Very intelligent person, he came from Andhra Pradesh. This Sadashiva Brahmendra's parents come from Andhra. Sadashiva Brahmendra was such a person that he used to engage in debates with people. So the king of Mysore, the Wadiyar family, they put him into this position of the scholar in the court, one of the leaders among the scholars who were present there. So Sadashiva Brahmendra was had a spiritual master. His name was Parameshwendra Saraswati. That was his spiritual master. Sadashiva Brahmendra goes to Mysore, and in the court he sits there, and the king used to invite scholars from everywhere. All over the country, he used to invite the scholars. They'll come, and Sadashiva Brahmendra will enter into a debate with them. When he enters into a debate, they'll get beaten at the end, and the king used to enjoy that. This was king's pastime. King was enjoying this. Then Sadashiva Brahmendra was beating up everyone. So some of his godbrothers who were present there in that assembly used to see this. A powerful intelligence inside, a fantastic memory, could remember everything in all the Shastra, what's written, studied everything, and sits very peacefully and debate with people, and eventually he wins the argument. This was the problem, this was what was happening to Sadashiva Brahmendra. So, some of his godbrothers used to think that with this sort of intelligence and this sort of memory and understanding, why is he doing this one thing? This business of serving this king like this, should he not be looking for something higher than this? In other words, if he becomes a jnani and has realized a soul, how great it will be for the benefit of so many other people. Whereas in the court, if you sit and debate with people and the king gets pleased, probably you will be given loads of gifts and presents and everything. So the godbrothers, what they did, they goes to his spiritual master, their spiritual master, and tells him that what Sadashiva is doing is not a good thing. His mouth, he never shuts up his mouth. Continuously talks, he's talking all the time. So, Parameshwendra Saraswati had a good feeling for his disciple. So, and disciple also had a lot of respect for his guru, because he learned a lot of shastram from the guru. So he sent word through one of the disciples, tell him to come back here, he said. So he goes and tells Sadashiva Brahmendra. Sadashiva comes back to see his guru, spiritual master. So spiritual master told him, will you please shut up your mouth? Stop talking this anymore, he said. From that day onwards, Sadashiva Brahmendra never spoke one word. That is how surrendered he was. He understood the mistake. From then on, all the shastram that is inside, he started working for him properly in the right direction. Instead of channelizing through this way to utilize it for defeating others, he started, the reflection became very, because all the things are already there inside. All it was required was a favorable consciousness inside, and spiritual master was able to give that to him. And it is this Sadashiva Brahmendra story, many stories are there written about him, how he spent his rest of his life. it was a, he had personalities who were after him from many parts of the country, from Punjab, from Pakistan, people from Lahore and all that, they were after him because of his amazing personality. He won't speak anything, but not only that, he wrote a famous commentary on Patanjali's Yoga Sutram. Patanjali's Yoga Sutram is well known, isn't it? Patanjali Maharshi wrote this Yoga Sutram, which is the basis for Ashtanga Yoga. Yama Niyama Asanam, Pranayama, Pratyaharam, Dharana, Dhyanam, Samadhi. This eight kinds of yoga system is discussed in Patanjali's Yoga Sutram. And there, Patanjali says there, Yoga Chitta Vritti Nirodham. If Chitta Vritti stops inside, you are in yoga state. And that's exactly what Krishna is saying here. If chittavritti or the thought process inside stops, this mind comes to a rest, then you have come to the yoga state. But we don't know that state, do we? We are only used to this continuous attack of the thoughts inside. So Patanjali spoke about that, and he developed this process of yoga's process. Yoga process of eight kinds of yoga system. And that yoga process, what Patanjali developed, on that, a very fantastic commentary, elaborate commentary, Sadashiva Brahmendra wrote about that commentary. It became very famous. And those were, and that had been studied by all the yogis who are following in that path. And who is their leader? Balaram. Lord Balaram is their leader, Sankrishnamurti, isn't it? It is through him that system has come into existence. So, Sadashiva Brahmendra wrote that book, and he became very famous with that. Not only that, while he was traveling like this, he used to wander around everywhere. In one instance, I mentioned also this, before he was walking through the garden of a Muslim Nawab. Nawab had a huge palace and a lot of bathing facilities, bathing places, everything. Nawab used to walk around. And one day he saw Sadashiva Brahmendra walking through that. He didn't know who Sadashiva Brahmendra was. So he goes there and sends his men to that, that he is so irresponsible that he's coming through the garden, the court palace gardens, is walking through freely. So they told him to cut his hand. Then that's how they applied their justice, isn't it? So they sent him with the knife to cut his hand. They cut off his hand, and the hand fell off there. And he kept walking. So much freed from the bodily concept. No identification with the body. When this Muslim Nawab saw this, he understood that this is a very interesting personality. He has never seen someone whose hand is cut off and he walks off like that without unaffected by anything. So they call a fakir, isn't it? So this is a fakir, he says, goes and picks up this piece of hand which has fallen off and goes after him and pays his respects to him and tells him, I have committed this offense. I didn't know who you were. I didn't know who you are. And then he says that this hand is with me. I have done this serious offense. They had this fear all the time. Many of the Muslim Nawabs, if you look, they had always this fear inside. When they see something extraordinary like this, they get frightened. So as soon as they saw this, they cut the hands off, and he takes the hand back from him and puts it back on the place where it's fallen off. The hand was put back into it and it stays there. It doesn't come off. So much free from the bodily concept of life, Sadashiva Brahmendra's life, later on you will see, he went into the Kaveri River, sat on the banks of the Kaveri River and performed many penances there. Once it so happened, Kaveri River was flooded and the loads of sand and earth came and covered him. He went underneath that and he was performing samadhi there. If you are freed from the bodily concept of life, body and how the body functions does not become any more important. It will carry on because prarabdham is not over. Prarabdham is still there. So body doesn't drop. What can you do? We are always thinking that our existence is due to the medicines and the good food and the good sleep and the good entertainment that this body is thriving. Body is not thriving because of that. Body is staying there because prarabdham is not over. You can see with sometimes some people die very easily, quickly and go away from here. Why? Prarabdham is over. Sometimes you can also see children. Sometimes children die. And children very well cared for and looked after, they die. And there is no logic, and the parents feel very strongly about it. Why did this happen? And all that, they start analyzing. The only answer to that is, they had cultivated spiritual life previously, in their lifetime, previous lifetimes. Probably some parabdham was left behind. And that parabdham they had to finish, and they had to come in that body and live for a few years, and they had to go after that. So, the subtle side of our existence is this prarabdha karma. Prarabdha karma. And that can happen to all of us in different levels. For a child in one level, for a grown-up person in another level, and for in between also in different levels. This prarabdham is that is keeping this body going. Nothing else. Nothing else. And even if you put yourself into all kinds of physical inconveniences, still you will see that the body will survive somehow, in some cases. And some cases, even if you maintain this body with all its needs, still you will see you can leave this body and go. So prarabdham is important. So that's what you are saying here, that the Sadashiva Brahmendra's prarabdham wasn't over. It has to stay. So many years, for some time after the rainy season was over, the river comes down, isn't it? It's its original position, the water flow comes down. So some farmers who were digging there for planting some, because they conduct this, they plant a lot of these vegetables at that time, because the river bed is very fresh with, it has brought a lot of things from the forest. And on its flow, the riverbed becomes very fertile. So if you grow vegetables at that time, you get first-class vegetables, and they grow very well in that land where when the river comes back to that place. So the farmers were digging there, and suddenly the blood came out, and they got stuck with this, and they looked and they saw the person was inside. His hands, legs, everything started coming out from there. And he was sitting there, and then he got up and walked away from there. So Sadashiva Brahmendra gets up and walks away from there. So these kind of things, stories are associated with Sadashiva Brahmendra's case. When he gave up his body, when he left this world, when he went into Samadhi, the Samadhi was experienced in four or five different places. It was experienced in Lahore, it was experienced in Chidambaram, it was experienced somewhere in Andhra, in a place where his devotees, they were all praying that when you leave the body, we want to be in your presence. So according to their desire, he had to leave up the body at different places, same time. So that is how they all came to know, because at those days, there was no possibility of telephone system or newspaper or anything like that. And till all the devotees who have spent time with him, they saw that Sadashiva Brahmendra has given up his body. They came to know about that. So so here, the Sadashiva Brahmendra story, that he was such a great personality that all these scholars, they used to discuss with him to get a certificate from him and about their qualifications. And in that process, he also got a lot of curse from the scholars in that process, because he used to beat them up all the time in there. And avadhuta, that is the stage he was in. He was not a sannyasi or anything. He was just a avadhuta. Avadhuta means one who has accepted this way of life, where no responsibility to the society, no responsibility to the world, completely only responsible to Krishna, nobody else. That state of freedom, that is what avadhuta has got. That's why in Bhagavadam, if you remember, in the 11th canto, we discussed about Dattatreya Maharshi, isn't it? It's avadhuta. This Dattatreya Maharshi is very well known. He is particularly highly worshipped in Maharashtra. Dattatreya Maharshi is worshipped in Maharashtra in a big way. So Dattatreya Maharshi's tradition is still very much there. So Dattatreya Maharshi was like that. Dattatreya Maharshi met two personalities. If you read Bhagavadam carefully, you will see this. One, King Yadu, goes to Dattatreya Maharshi to take the instructions in the Bhagavadam. You see that 24 spiritual masters who had that, Dattatreya Maharshi had. Dattatreya Maharshi spoke about these 24 spiritual masters to King Yadu. In the 7th canto, if you look, you will see there, Prahlad Maharaj met Dattatreya Maharshi. And Dattatreya Maharshi instructed Prahlada also about other spiritual masters, particularly about the three, four spiritual masters he mentions there, in there. So, Prahlada as well as King Yadu, both of them have received instructions from Dattatreya. So, Dattatreya is very, he was an Avadhuta. So, the Sadashiva Brahmendra also was an Avadhuta like that. In that Avadhuta stage, you are not bound by any rules of the society, community, or institution, or the government, or the any such thing. Nothing binds you. You feel so released from all these entanglements of this world. And he moves in this world till the prarabdham allows to leave the body here and goes away. So, such a person is called Vedanta Vakyeshu Sadar Ramanta. For him, in that realized state, he is completely absorbed in the realizations. It is realizations that's keeping him going. What is that? Vedanta Vakyeshu Sadar Ramanta. The only thoughts that is coming into his head is this Vedic conclusions. Vedanta Vakyas means the conclusions of the Upanishads. That's the only thing that is in his consciousness working. No other thoughts enters inside. Aham Brahmasmi, Pratyanam Brahma, Tatvamasi, and I am Atman Brahma. These are the famous Vedanta Vakyams. There are many other Upanishads are also all Vedanta Vakyas, but these are the main four major ones in the Vedanta philosophy also. And it is only these thoughts that is going through their head, and they are relishing that, and that anandam bliss that they are experiencing at that. Kaubina vanda khalu bhagya vandaha. Such a person is very, very fortunate. Why? No more worry about the bodily needs. No more worry about the bodily needs. Kaubina vandaha. That all they have is one kaubinam. Kaubinam means the brahmachari is underwear. Khalu bhagya vandaha. He is very, very fortunate. Acharyas are saying like that about such personalities who have reached that state of consciousness. So, sometimes after realizations, when the bodily identity falls away, it is very difficult for them to live in a society of ordinary people. Isn't it? Because ordinary people have certain way of looking at things. Ordinary people means the general class of people. They look at them from their point of view that, oh, you should dress in a particular way. You should act in a particular way. So many expectations from ordinary people we force upon them. We expect them to follow that. But they are unable to follow. Why? Because of this realization inside. This is what's happened. So once to such a personality, people asked him that they thought that, oh, he's unable to afford wearing a dhoti. He can't afford a dhoti. So some people brought some dhoti and gave it to him to wear the dhoti. He is saying, what can I do? What can I do? You people want all these things to put on me. But how can I put it on me? Am I this body? The realization has gone away from the body to such a level that he is finding it difficult that I have to clothe this body for somebody else's pleasure, not for me. I don't need it. This is what this point was. No, so realization brings us to this state of consciousness that body is not anymore important. We spend all the time clothing body, dressing this body. In a day, if you look, most of the time is spent on that process, isn't it? So, the Vedanta Vakyeshu Sadaryamanda Kaubina Vanda Khalu Bhagyavanda. That Kaubina Panchakam was written when Acharya Swamiji saw this, with this situation. He is saying there that how fortunate are they that I am not able to walk around like this. Acharya sometimes, they keep their mind, their consciousness in such a way that they want to conduct their business of preaching this knowledge in the world. So they will follow the rule. But Avadhutas don't do that. Avadhuta will only speak if you approach them in the right way. And if you understand that they are Avadhutas and they have high realizations, only then you will approach them. Whereas Acharyas do not think like that. Acharya wants to distribute this knowledge to everyone to the best capacity. And they will do it through knowledge, not through forcefully. Forcefully doing has no meaning. Forcefully, when you do it, it will not last long. It will go away. If you do forcefully anything, it will not work. It should be done with the right understanding and proper practice of it, and the other person should be able to take it in the right spirit. Otherwise, it has no meaning. So when the acharyas do that, they see, they are talking about Avadhuta. Vedantavakyeshu sadharyamantam. They are enjoying the bliss of the spiritual realization. Kopinavanda khalu bhagyavandaha. So how fortunate are they, he says. In that way, there is a famous verses, 5 or 6 verses are there. It's known as Kopina Panchakam. That Kopina Panchakam means, Panchakam means 5 verses. 5 verses only. Panchakam means one who is dressed up only in a Kaupinam. Kaupinam means the Brahmachari underwear. He has got only that and he has experienced the greatest bliss in this world. Imagine that. He has got nothing else. Doesn't have a dhoti, only has got this Kaupinam with him. And he is experienced the highest bliss in this world. Seeing this, Ajari Swamiji wrote this book, verses known as Kaupina Panchakam. It's a famous Prakarana Grantham, it is called. Prakarana Grantham means, although we have Upanishads and Puranas and everything in the Shastram, we have all these things, isn't it? Vedas are there, Upanishads are there, Puranas are there. Then we have got also Itihasams, Ramayanam and Mahabharatam. And all the other Upavedas are also there to help us to understand this spiritual life properly. But because of all this, they are not accessible to ordinary people, isn't it? They are not accessible to ordinary people. So what all the great acharyas have done is that the message in the Shastram, they have written down in the form of stotram, in the form of different stotram. That's why stotrams and prakaran, they are called Prakarana Grantham. And Prakarana Grantham means, it is easier to study Prakarana Grantham and understand the philosophy or the understanding of Krishna consciousness much more in depth. Because there, he is speaking through his own personal realizations, personal experiences, very much down to earth. It will be spoken in that way. So, because of that, the acharyas became famous. If you look into their commentaries on Upanishads and all, nobody will understand anything. It's so complex. Even now, many scholars are saying, agreeing that those commentaries on the Upanishads, what the acharyas have written, is not accessible to everybody. Many people, they still have a lot of questions coming from that, when the commentaries were written. So commentaries didn't help very much. But Prakarana Grantham, this Prakarana means the way they have expounded the philosophy to us in detail, they help us. And Kaupina Panchakam is one of that Prakarana Grantham, which is studied by people. There are so many others like that, Manisha Panchakam. Then similarly, there are so many others, endless list they have written down for people to study and to understand the soul, the spiritual science of the soul. So, coming back to Suresha Brahmandra's story also, that it was explained like this, that society will expect us to act in a particular way on a spiritual level, on a material level. But spiritually advanced state is when we don't have to worry too much about what the society is telling us to do. Kim bhoktavyam, kim shodavyam. Once Sadashiv Brahmendra was walking through a state, through one street, and there he observed that some people were sitting there and chatting. They were chatting. And when they were chatting, what were they chatting about? They were chatting about all the things, what's going on in this world. And then he crossed that street and went to another street and walking through that. And there, serious discussions were going on about the spiritual world there. People are talking about what was going on in the spiritual world. Means that when they talk about heavens, heavenly planets, what life is there, what happens when you perform sacrifices and goes to heaven, how your spiritual life, how you engage, enjoy there, all these kinds of discussions were going on. So Ashwa Brahmendra had one person who was following him. So he turned around and told him that in that street, they are gossiping about this world. In the other street, they are gossiping about the other world, he says. So realized soul see all this as gossip only, nothing else. Nothing but gossiping. So gossiping doesn't help. That's what he is saying there. That when the realization comes, gossip all stops. Because he himself shut his mouth one day. So he knows what it is like when there is too much talking goes on about it. So, now, he realizes that when there is bliss inside, from the realizations, when there is such a powerful bliss that is going through, yadate moha kalilam, moham has gone, buddhir vedhitarishyadi, tada gandhasi nirvedam, shrotavyasa shrutasyacha. That was verse 52. Then, connected with that verse is the next verse. If you look it carefully, you will notice that Shudhi vipradivannade yadastasyadi nishchalam, samadhau achala buddhi, tada yogam avapsyasi. I will explain that connection between the last verse and this verse. You see, in order that, in verse 52, Krishna talks about buddhir vedhitarishyadi, isn't it? How cross over the buddhi stage, stage of buddhi. Now, in the Vedic tradition, in order to free us from the effect of this buddhi, and to free ourselves from the interest in the material life, Vedic sacrifices were created. Vedic sacrifices were created so that you don't break away from within the framework of dharmam, you stay. That's why the reason behind the Vedic sacrifices were. When you have no code of conduct, what will happen? We will do anything what we want, isn't it? And we will justify it by our own ourselves. We can do anything what we want and we can justify it in the name of Shastram. So knowing very well all these things, the rishis gave us a code of conduct. If you do within this framework, you won't perform adharmam, irreligious activities you won't engage in. We all have karma vasana inside. We need to do karma. Without doing karma, we can't sit quiet. Karma is an integral part of us. Our makeup, our frame is created like that. So if it is like that, the sages are saying that since you have to execute karma, do the karma in such a way that it won't transgress the boundary of the dharma. You will stay within dharma. And that is how Vedic sacrifices were come into existence. All the famous sacrifices, which requires elaborate preparations. Elaborate preparations like yagam, all kinds of yagam, homam, yajnam. All these are sacrifices in different forms, with limited differences. So you can see the kings were absorbed in this in the past, isn't it? Rajasuyam was performed by Yudhishthira Maharaj. Yudhishthira Maharaj Rajasuyam sacrifices, well known. It lasted 17 months and 17 days, they say. It lasted 17 months and 17 days. And if you see the elaborate preparations he had to make for that, the amount of wealth that was needed, and practically he has engaged the whole community in performing the sacrifice. So that way, they won't go out of the dharmam. They will stay within the dharmam, and they were all assisting the king in executing this sacrifice of Rajasuyam. Prajina Brahis did thus. If you look into the fourth canto, you will see Prajina Brahis. He was a master at it, and that's how he got that name, Prajina Brahis. And it is, and he conducted these performances one after the other. And when Narada Maharshi went to see him, Narada Maharshi asked Prajina Brahis that, "What are you up to now?" He says, "Oh, I've done so many now, and I'm going to start the next one very soon." It is then that Narada Maharshi instructed him on spiritual life, to come out of this karmagandam. Karmagandam is that keeping us within that framework of law. So, so Prajina Maharshi's story, and also you will see Prithu Maharaj performed so many sacrifices. Remember, he performed 99. On the 100th one came, who came? Indra came and stole the horse from there. So all these sacrifices had only one purpose, to keep the human population within dharmam, so that they don't go out of dharmam. Otherwise, what will happen is, we'll completely get lost, what we should do in this world. And then that is how we start thinking about our sense enjoyment seriously. And we also get captivated by the all this creation, and we start exploration work. Now, as they said, like this, you can imagine how foolish people who have some spiritual understanding think about this. You know, in Austria, they started this thing called God particle, in Switzerland, I think. God particle, try to find out God through experiments. Can you imagine the brain behind it? And recently that they had that, what is that called? There's a famous tunnel they have built, through which these particles are spent at very high speed and they collide, and from that some energy is created, and they are trying to test it out through that the God exists or not. So, and billions and billions of pounds they are spending on that. There is a special name for that equipment what they have created. So this is all coming from this mind and intelligence driving them in that direction. It's nothing you can do. They're intelligent people, but what to do? It's gone the wrong way. So that's what happened there. So it is here that the importance of the proper guidance, the purpose of this Shastram becomes very, very, very necessary. So I was talking about, I lost that track when I was discussing that. So Karmakandam. Karmakandam's purpose was this, isn't it? Karmakandam's purpose was that this mind which goes away without any license, and to bring that mind under certain control. Otherwise, human mind can create a lot of havoc in this world if you let loose, go like that, in that way. So if you don't restrict the mind, it will go in that direction. That's what they are saying. So in order to save the jiva, save the soul, for not being driven by the mind and intelligence, they created what is known as Karmakandam. Karmakandam came into existence purely because of this reason. Puranjana's story is the best example, Prachina Barakis. And if you get caught up in that, you will lose the goal. Purpose is not performing sacrifices and keep the mind under control. Purpose is to understand the spiritual realization to come to you. And Prajina Barhis managed to escape from that very nicely through Puranjana's story. What Narada Maharshi spoke to him. Narada Maharshi was sent by Krishna specifically for that, to talk to Prajina Barhis about this. That, and you know that Puranjanovakyanam story in the fourth canto, five chapters you can read through. And it is telling, it is allegorical thing, but it's one of the most beautiful allegorical explanations of the soul, how it gets lost in this world and again regains its pure form, pure realization. Finally, you will see there that the bird from the Manasa Saras comes and says to that soul that we were two birds before. Don't you remember that? And the two birds flies away from here back to the spiritual world. At that point, Prachina Barhis asked a question to Narada Maharshi, what kind of story is this? He says. And then Narada Maharshi explains the whole background, and then Prachina Barhis gets the realization, leaves everything to Prachetas and goes to the forest, executes penances and realizes the truth and goes back to the spiritual world. That story is there in the Bhagavatam. It's a beautiful example of the soul getting diverted from its main business here and goes into this illusion of enjoying the world and illusion of thinking that forgetting the business of our purpose of coming to this world, and how the soul comes back to it again after leaving this material body, how it goes back to the spiritual world. So all that is, when that happens, at some point in time, although he is controlled by the material nature very much, still through execution of Karmakandam, what will happen to him is that buddhi, his intelligence will go inwards. The proper inquiry will start, and inside it becomes very steady and peaceful. And yogasthiti, Krishna calls it as yogasthiti. So normally, many times, highly realized souls could be in this world somewhere, but people may not recognize them, their spiritual positions. It's impossible to find out who they are. And that is, today it happens to all of us. The spiritually realized souls are present in this world. They will always be present. You can never say that they are not present. Or really advanced spiritual souls are present there. But our problem is, we will only accept them if they are making a lot of propaganda. This is a difficulty. If they are making propaganda and telling the rest of the world that I am realized and you come to me and they take it from me, then only we will accept them. This is only we come to know them, because we don't have the proper understanding how to see the spiritually advanced person. But spiritually advanced people always exist in this world. So what normally happens is, because of our inability to recognize them, we don't find them. And then we start thinking they don't exist in this time because it's Kali Yugam, they don't exist. No, in Kali Yugam they exist more than any other time. Because Kali Yugam, self-realization is a much more easier process. So in Kali Yugam there are more than any other time, but only thing is they won't come out declaring to the world that I am self-realized, so come to me. Those things don't happen. And here, The same thing you can see in Bhagavad Gita happening. Right in front of Arjuna, Krishna is standing there. And Arjuna is asking this question to Krishna, Sthita Prajna Sega Bhasha Samadhista Sekeshava. What is a symptom of a person who is self-realized? The self-realized personality is right in front of him and he is unable to recognize him. So, once it so happened that a sage was present in one of the ashrams and he was standing there in his ashram. By looking at him, he didn't look, he was a very advanced person, externally by looking at him. So, some people came to the ashram, like one of us has come there, to looking for the truth. So when we went there, there was nobody there, he was standing outside. So the person who went there thought that he must be some servant who is doing the service to the guru must be sitting inside somewhere in the upstairs in the AC room or somewhere. So he thought that this person must be a servant. So in a very rude way, he asked this person, that is the Maharshi there? Where is he? He says. So Maharshi looked at him and says to him, he has gone to take bath, he said. Going to take bath. So after some time, the Maharshi goes and the same person goes and comes back. So he says to him, oh, when is he coming back, the Maharshi? He says, which Maharshi are you looking for? So he says his name to him. He says that I am that. So why did you not tell me? He says, do you expect me to put a name around me saying that I am this person? That was his response to that. So generally they are shy of revealing their realizations to others. They don't want this propaganda. It doesn't help anybody. So they try to stay away from. So it is a question how individuals are. Some people have that nature. They don't want to exhibit themselves in front of others. Some people, that Krishna's arrangement it is. Some people, Krishna puts them, that you have to propagate Krishna consciousness everywhere, go out and propagate at any cost, do that. That is also Krishna's. And now both of them are equally important. Not that one is superior to the other. One who is propagating Krishna consciousness, who has under Krishna's control and Krishna's guidance is operating. And when he is doing that you cannot minimize the importance of that. That is also Krishna's desire that this knowledge should stay in this world. So that's where that is coming from. So when you see these things, it has to be taken in that way. Sthita Prajna Sega Bhasha Samadhistasya Keshava. And how does he act? That was the question, isn't it? If you look into the verse 54, now, I was going to say this, I forgot that. That verse 53, Shudivi Pradivannade Yadastasiri Nishchala Samadho Ajalabuddhi Tada Yogamavapsyasi. So, in this verse, Krishna is saying here, if you look at the translation of verse 53, when your mind is no longer disturbed by the flowery language of the Vedas, and when it remains fixed in the trance of self-realization, then you will have attained the divine consciousness. So in the last verse, Krishna spoke about the edade mohagalilam of crossing over the boundary of intelligence and buddhir viditarishadi. Then there is nothing to be heard after that. Shodasya shodasya, he says. And in this verse, Krishna is saying, Shudivi pradivannade, even the Vedas have to withdraw at that point from that person who have come to that realization. So, what's important here? You can see one thing, Vedas give importance to realization, not to Shastram. Vedas give importance to realization. Shastram is only there to help you to get there. That's what he says here. Shudivi Pradivannade Yadastasidhi Nishchalam. That person who has come fixed in the trance of self-realization, he says there. For him, the language, Vedas, is also not anymore important for him because he got to the goal at the end. So again, we go back to the same thing. Goal is important, not the process, not the Shastram. The goal is important. Always, we have to keep the goal in mind, why we are in spiritual life, to realize the self. Otherwise, what is the point? Whole life I have practiced my sadhana without knowing what the goal is. Somebody has told me to do it, I've just done it. And then I'm asking at the end of my life, while leaving the body, what did I gain from all these things? Same way, you have studied all the Shastram throughout the life, but no realization came at the end. What is the use? Similarly, you have engaged in so many spiritual activities, but if the goal hasn't reached at the end, then we have to ask the question, was it worthwhile, all these things? The discipline in life. Sadhana is not the thing that gets you there. Remember this. Sadhana is not the thing that makes you success in spiritual life. Sadhana brings the purity inside to accept this knowledge easily, without any reluctance anymore. The knowledge of the self, what Krishna is talking about in the Bhagavad Gita, that will come to us if the inside is very pure. Inside is pure. Sadhana helps that purity to develop. Sadhana helps the purity to develop inside. Therefore, sadhana is necessary. Sadhana cannot be written off. It is absolutely necessary. But sadhana, doing sadhana itself is not the goal. That's the point I'm making. So doing sadhana whole day after day is not the goal. Goal is self-realization, realizing the self. So simultaneously, while performing sadhana, one should also develop of this understanding of the soul from Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam. Because as much as inside is getting purified, simultaneously you will see the effect of that knowledge also working from inside. And at certain stages, you will notice many great devotees have confirmed this. Vilumangalam particularly said this. At one point, he could not execute the sadhana anymore. A stage can come in life that you cannot execute your sadhana anymore. Say, imagine that we got very sick at the old age, and if the prarabdham is such that we have to spend in the hospital bed for a year, two, sometimes it can happen. Or you are thrown between the house and the hospital, and you are practically helpless to execute the sadhana. Either bodily problems or mental problems, whatever situation happens. So, if you have stressed on sadhana all the time, what will happen is, you will become very miserable at that point. You will be thinking, oh, I could not do my chanting 16 rounds today. I could not bathe this morning. I couldn't do my deity worship. I couldn't do all the other spiritual activities, what you have been doing as sadhana. This will come. This problem can happen to many people. And they will feel physically you are helpless. You are unable to do anything. Does that mean your spiritual life is finished there? No. Spiritual life doesn't finish like that. Sadhana is only there while you are healthy, while you are in a position to do it. It actually excites your spiritual life. It gives you that purity inside. And you have to capture the message from Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam at this stage in life, before it's too late. And what is gone in, it will come. Krishna said that swadu swadu pade pade. If you remember the words in the Bhagavatam, that little by little it goes in, swadu swadu pade pade, step by step, swadu swadu, it starts tasting it, spiritual knowledge. And the spiritual knowledge, what you have tasted inside, will stay inside, it won't go. And even at a stage when you cannot execute your sadhana, if such a stage does happen in life, this swadu swadu pade pade, what has gone in, will start coming out at that point, and you will not be disturbed over not executing the sadhana at that time. These are important things, because old people, old age, how things will happen, nobody knows. Each one of us will have to face this death in different ways, either in the hospital or at home or in the road, who knows where it will happen. So, things are like that, uncertainty of life, isn't it? Shruti vipratipannade yadasthasiti nischalam. So, Vedas also is not the goal. Studying Vedas is also not the goal. Realization of this truth of the self is the goal. And Vedas are there only to help us. That is what this verse is saying here. That Shudivi Pradivannade, without influence by the fruitive results of the Vedas, Vedic revelations, Yathastasidi Nishchalam, when you are staying in your samadhi. Samadhi means the soul. The knowledge of the self, the knowledge of the soul. If you are situated in that position, in samadhu achala buddhi, buddhi is steady, buddhi is not anymore disturbed, tada yogam avapsesi. Krishna calls this as yogam. This is the yoga state of a person. So, yoga state, Krishna says, somehow or the other, before death happens, if you have reached this yoga state, you have escaped. That is Krishna's point. Krishna is not telling us in the second chapter anywhere, or even in the Bhagavad Gita elsewhere, that realization is after death. He says, little by little, if this knowledge has gone in, And this knowledge has gone in. And if you have reached the state of yoga before death it must happen. The same thing Krishna will repeat at the end of this chapter again, before death it should happen. If before death it happens to us, Krishna says, tada yogam avapsyasi. If you have become a yogi in that way, the word yogam is not, when somebody says the word yogam, immediately we start thinking in terms of the yoga classes and Ashtanga yogam in that way. Krishna's reference to yogam is not in that sense. Krishna's reference to yogam is in one understanding, self-realization. Krishna calls that as yogam. That is yogam. Realizing the self is yoga. So Krishna's point is that tada yogam avapsyasi. If you have some experience of self-realization, little bit, even in this life, before death, the time of death, Krishna says, that will come up. That realization what you had inside will come up and will save you from another hell. It can take you back into the higher position from then onwards. Whether we may have to come back or not, that is difficult to say. That will depend on the what happens at the time of death. If the self-realization is good, if it is complete, then memories of Krishna, the soul, will come at that point somehow or the other. For the jnani, it is the Atma. For the devotee, it is Krishna. That's only the difference is. Jnani and Atma, ultimate destination is the same. Sometimes, for easy understanding, when acharyas write the commentary, they will, because if our mind is very much controlled by the this black and white nature of the mind, that it will only, everything has to be very clearly defined for us, otherwise we won't accept it. So therefore they will say that a jnani will go to Brahmam, a jnani will go to Brahmam, or a devotee will go to Vaikuntham, or to Golokam, or to Kailasam, or some other destinations, wherever. It's all spoken like that. But this is in one level, it's spoken to make it easier for us. But if you read Bhagavad Gita carefully, you will notice Krishna is also saying there, a jnani and bhakta is not different. You will notice that also. Krishna has glorified jnani to such high level sometimes. Eka bhaktir vishishyade priyoham jnani yathartham. There is a verse there. Many verses, not one. So many. If you read the fourth chapter, you will see there where Krishna discusses about the jnana sannyasam. Krishna says, priyohi jnani yathartham. He says, among them there is no one who is dearer to me than a jnani. At one point Krishna says. So if it is like that, you start thinking, will Krishna send him to a lower place? Will he do that? It all makes no reasoning is this. The only way, it's not wrong what has been spoken. We must not misunderstand that we are not criticizing that. But what it is it's spoken in such a way, unless you see the subtlety of all these things. When Bhagavad Gita, when you read, you should not feel any conflict inside. We have taken that, all the jnanis, they will not go to Golokvanda. They'll only go to Brahman realization. They'll get stuck there. And then from there, they have to come further. And we say only us devotees who have come through the parampara will only get to Golokam. It's not like that. As I mentioned before, self-realization is not anybody's monopoly. It's no one's monopoly it is. It is something Krishna has given us through Shastram. If we take it, practice it, and if we have that mercy from Krishna, if you have surrendered to Krishna, anyone in this world, it is open to them. It's not based on any other consideration. Shraddha. For jnanam, knowledge, the only qualification Krishna says is shraddha, seriousness. And for bhakti, the only qualification is surrender, sharanagati, nothing else. These are the two processes. In the Bhagavad Gita, you will find that if you keep on reading Bhagavad Gita, you will get this realization. And jnani will reach the same destination as a devotee. And a devotee will reach the same destination as a jnani. Because both of them have followed Krishna 100% in the way Krishna has spoken in the Bhagavad Gita. It is not that Krishna is not speaking there to let down jnani or to let down devotee in any way. There is no such interest in Krishna's words. And that you will only understand if you study Bhagavad Gita thoroughly. And as much as you go deeper into Bhagavad Gita, you will see this point, that the jnani also is also glorified as well as the devotees glorified there. But in the early stages, we have to mention it like that. Otherwise, it will all become very confusing. So therefore, when the acharyas write their commentary, they will write it like this, that, oh, Brahmedi, Paramatmedi, Bhagavan iti shabdyade. In the Bhagavatam, it's only said like that. Brahmam, Paramatma, Bhagavan. Now, when you write the commentary, because for devotees to understand that, and to make us a devotee, the acharyas will write, Bhagavan iti shabdyade. Bhagavan is a supreme realization. The other realization or partial realization. This way it will be spoken like that. If you can realize Brahman in this world, you have escaped from here. You don't have to worry about anything else. If you realize Paramatma in this world, you have escaped from here. So naturally, when we say like that, it is possible that sometimes in our mind we start thinking, well, I'll go for the best one. Isn't it? Brahman Paramatma is all on a lower category. I'll only accept the topmost one, Bhagavan realization. So that is in that level, it has to be spoken like that. Otherwise, to bring us into that seriousness of our practice of spiritual life. That's why it's spoken like that. Otherwise, if you read Bhagavad Gita, you will see Brahman realization is as important as the Bhagavan realization or the yogic realization, because it's all there in the Bhagavad Gita. You can't say that doesn't come there. So anyway, in this verse, Krishna has talked about this. Shudhi Pradivannade Yadastasya Nishchalam Samadhau Achala Buddhi Tadha Yogam Avapsyasi Tadha Yogam Avapsyasi. Somehow become a yogi. Krishna says, somehow become a yogi. Once you become a yogi, Krishna says, that will shelter you at the time of death. Later on, when we finish this chapter, you should see the words Krishna has used there. That how this knowledge of Bhagavad Gita, if that becomes part of our life in this world, and if those realizations has come from that, right now, here, before leaving this body, Krishna says you can take it for granted that once you leave this body, you will go back to a higher place. And esham brahmistiti partha, and if it is perfection, spiritual realization perfection, then you go back to the fully realized state, you don't come back again. That if not, even if you have to come back, Krishna says you will never be a loser. It will be a place where you will complete your remaining spiritual life, what you have to do before he goes back to the spiritual world. So in the second chapter, this is the best message what can get from that. Spiritual life is not a waste of time. It is something that is worthwhile living for. In the sense that Krishna is saying it can be done here now. You don't have to wait after death. It's not something that I'll only get it after death. It can be done here right now. And he also says it should be done here now. Because if it's not done here, I've given you this human body for this purpose. And if you don't do it, you lost a big chance. That's what he's saying there. He says, you lost a big chance. This chance will never come again. When it will come again, you don't know. And if it comes, whether you will take to it or not, who knows? So, from Krishna's point of view, right now, in this life, here, we have to practice spiritual life and realize the self. Even if you don't complete it, Krishna says, no harm. You are not at loss. It will still go with you to a better place next life, and you will continue from where you have stopped. I have so many examples to give for this, which I'll discuss in another time when we discuss about Karma Yoga. Because this is actually Vedic history. History of the Vedic culture is like this. A series of personalities coming and appearing in this world and constantly showing to us that they have brought this powerful spiritual vasanas with them from their previous life. And that spiritual vasanas, how it's following them. By observing them, you can see that these vasanas are extremely powerful. And the more we create the spiritual vasanas inside, we also will go into the same situation like them. When you see sometimes some people at a very early age, they don't have any difficulty in accepting Krishna consciousness. Isn't it? Much earlier in life, they are able to accept it without any difficulty. There is no block inside. Some people, even at the age of 80 and 85, talking to them makes nowhere. Why does this happen? Why is it happening? The only reason you can attribute that to is that the one person had done this a lot of things before in previous life. That's why he had no difficulty in accepting it. The other person, he had started even. That's why in spite of pushing this into them, a lot still is not being taken seriously. And that is the only way you can logicize that. It is not due to the presentation of the truth. It is only due to the recipient's state of mind or state of consciousness inside. If the recipient is matured and pakwam, as they call it, if it's a ripened fruit, it will take easily thing and it will develop on that. And if the recipient is not ready for it, even many lifetimes it may take for that to develop from there. So all these things are there in this chapter. When Krishna is talking about these things, Krishna has a lot of things behind it, in the mind behind it. Our acharyas are, while they're commenting on that, and in their Prakarana Grantham, they will mention all these things in depth. They will talk about it. And the more you read and think about it, you find spiritual life more exciting. Otherwise, it is not something dead. After some time you die in spiritual life. Oh, so many years I've chanted, nothing has happened, I'm giving it up now and I go away. That is not spiritual life. Spiritual life is to grow all the time, isn't it? Continue tomorrow. All glory to Srila Prabhupada. Yeah.